So the authority of God's word. Last Shabbat I shared with you the power of God's word, that only his word spoken or spoken and then written can confirm itself. And thus his actions are confirmed by what he says. I shared with you Numbers 23:19 that God is not a human who lies or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. When he speaks, he cannot take his words back. If only it were that easy for us. Where there is power, there is authority. One cannot exist with the other. Let me provide you with a few definitions. Power is the ability to do something or act in a particular way. One does not need the authority to act in power. Coup, anyone? Never mind. Authority. I'm going to give you a few different ones. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. The right to act in a specified way, delegated from one person or organization to another. And then this third one, official permission. In other words, you have been sanctioned to do, you have been given permission to do. So just because one has the power to act does not mean they have been given the authority to act. Throughout time, many have acted solely on the power they wielded. Yet did they have the authority to do so? One might even ask further, if they perceived they had the power, who had given them the authority to begin with? Just as an overview, we could look at something like the Crusades. The Crusades were a series of religious wars initiated, supported, and sometimes directed by the Latin Church in the medieval period. The best known of these crusades are those of the Holy Land in the period between 1095 and 1291 that were intended to recover Jerusalem and its surroundings from Islamic rule. I want you to focus on that because I'm going to be dealing with that in greater detail. So this is by no means a comprehensive presentation of what transpired over nearly 200 years, yet it will suffice for now. The church wielded both power as an influential presence and the perceived authority to reclaim Jerusalem from Islamic rule. Yet did they actually possess any authority at all? And when I say authority, it isn't just any authority but God's authority. Their actions convey an authority, yet it was not delegated by Adonai but perceived. Was Jerusalem even theirs to redeem from Islamic rule? When we understand authority, there is only one who can truly extend it. Adonai is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of all that resides on the earth, and he is creator of us. Yet as his creation, has he given us total authority? I would say he has given us authority, yet not a blank check authority, where we can do anything we want. There are limits on the authority we have been given. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them, meaning us. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. Fill the earth with your offspring and subdue the earth. That is to bring it under control. In other words, be responsible for it. Yet we do not have the authority to change anything about it. We were created to bring forth life, yet the authority of that life still remains in the possession of Adonai. We are to live under that authority, yet in many ways we have established our own authorities, taken matters into our own hands, and ultimately changed that which we had no authority to change. We're back at the tower again. Genesis 11:4. Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower, that has its top reaching up into heaven so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth. Acting upon our own authority, not the authority that has been given to us. Acting in the name of God is the premise that has been used throughout the centuries. Where he offers his name, he has offered his authority. However, to merely act and yet not have the actual authority to do so. Let's go back to the Crusades and their origins for a moment. In 1095, Pope Urban II proclaimed the First Crusade. He proclaimed it at the Council of Clement. He encouraged military support for Byzantine Emperor Alexios against the Seljuk Turks and called for an armed pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Across all social strata in Western Europe, there was an enthusiastic popular response. The first crusaders had a variety of motivations, including religious salvation, satisfying feudal obligations, opportunities for renown, and economic and political advantage. How scriptural is that? Does this sound in any way like Adonai giving authority for the actions that would transpire? Did it sound in any way like this? Moses, my servant, is dead. So now get up and cross the Jordan, you and all the people of the land I am giving to them, the people of Israel. I am giving you every place you will step on with the sole of your foot, as I said to Moses. This is Joshua 1, 2, and 3. The transition from the wilderness to the land. Who is speaking here? God is speaking. Adonai instructs Joshua, who has been given the authority by Adonai to take the place of Moses as his successor and lead the nation that bears the name of Adonai and thus his authority. We read in Numbers 6:27, in this way they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. His name is his authority. We see this authority being transferred from Moses to Joshua here in Deuteronomy. The people of Israel mourned Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days. After this, the days of crying and mourning for Moses ended. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the people of Israel heeded him and did what Adonai had ordered Moses. For whom the authority and instruction was given by Adonai to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses said to God, look, when I appear before the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I to tell them? God said to Moses, Ayeh Asher Ayeh, I am, will be what I am, and added, here is what to say to the people of Israel. Ayeh, I am, has sent me to you. God said further to Moses, say to the people of Israel, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, my name, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered generation after generation. Go, gather the leaders of Israel together and say to them, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, has appeared to me and said, I have been paying close attention to you and have seen what is being done to you in Egypt. The prophets were given the authority by Adonai, just as Moses, and thus their words are his words. Just as Moses spoke on behalf of Adonai, so too the prophets spoke on behalf of Adonai as well. One such example that I was reading throughout the week and dwelling on, Isaiah chapter 2. This is the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah in Jerusalem. In the end of days, in the Harit Hayim, the mountain of Adonai's house will be established as the most important mountain. It will be regarded more highly than the other hills, and all the goyim, all the nations will stream there. Many peoples will go and say, "Come, let's go up to the mountain of Adonai, to the house of the God of Yaakov. He will teach us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of Adonai from Jerusalem." Does this sound familiar at all? "He will judge between the nations and arbitrate for many peoples. Then they will hammer their swords into plow blades and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will not raise swords at each other, and they will no longer learn war. Descendants of Yaakov, come, let's live in the light of Adonai." These are not the words of Isaiah, but the words given by Adonai for which the prophet spoke. Isaiah was not speaking under his own authority. The prophecy was not his, but the one whose authority he was functioning by. We read of the authority Adonai bestows on Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, 'Whom should I send? Whom will go for us?' I answered, 'I'm here, send me.' He said, 'Go tell this people.'" God saying, "Go tell this people. Yes, you hear, but you don't understand. You certainly see, but you don't get the point." Thus he has been given the authority to speak, and speak he does. This prophecy speaks of what we have come to know as Yeshua's return and second coming. The Harit Ha'ayim, or the end of days. Adonai will restore the nation of Israel and will impact the nations as well. There will be no more fighting, no more war. Peace will be established, yet not under the authority of the rulers of the world, but under the authority of the world's creator. How does this relate to us, Adonai's authority? In each example I have shared, we have witnessed through his word that only he can give his authority. Yet in the case of our example of the Crusades, his authority is perceived, yet no evidence that the authority to take Jerusalem back from Islamic rule was there. What do we know? This is what we know. We know that the land where Jerusalem resides was given by Adonai to Israel. Numbers 13:2, "Send men on behalf to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each ancestral tribe, send someone who is a leader in his tribe." He has the authority to give the land because he created the world. Everything belongs to him. We know that they lived in the land and would do so as long as they followed the ways of Adonai as revealed to Moses and thus transmitted to the people. We know Adonai would remove them from the land and the land would lay desolate so long as they were absent. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 27. "Tell them that Adonai swears, 'As I live,' he says, 'those living in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those in the countryside I will give to the wild animals to eat, and those in the fortress and caves will die of the plague. Moreover, I will utterly desolate the land. It will cease taking pride in its power, and the mountains of Israel will be so desolate that no one will pass through." As much as people would try to remain there, it didn't matter. When God said go, he took them out of the land. There were likely claw marks on the rocks from people not wanting to go. 2 Chronicles 36:21. "Thus was fulfilled the word of Adonai spoken by Jeremiah, 'Until the land has been paid her Shabbats, For as long as it lay desolate, it kept Shabbat until 70 years had passed. Desolate, uninhabited, basically. It became a desert again. So long as the children of Israel were exiled from the land would remain desolate. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 1. When the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessings and the curse, which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. God has driven them to the nations. God has removed them from the land. So when you start thinking about what has happened to you, and you will return to Adonai your God and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today. This is Moses speaking on behalf of God. You and your children, with all your heart and all your being, at that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show your mercy. He will return and gather you from the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. What have I said before? What God scatters, nobody can gather. God has to do the gathering and bring them back. We have been seeing that over the last nearly 150 years, starting with the first Aliyah in 1880. Small ones, preparing the land for what would occur in 1948. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there to get you. He scattered you, he will retrieve you. Consider it a personal mercy flight. He takes flight, he goes, he gets you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, past tense, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. Pope Urban II was not acting upon this authority because it is Adonai who is acting, and for the intense purpose of bringing Israel back to the land. The eradication of those for whom the land does not belong to will be addressed in time. We have seen Israel gaining more and more control of the land that belongs to them, and only for the reason that it is the authority of Adonai who has given it to them. Thus, this authority, again, I ask, how does it relate to us? Where does Adonai's authority reside today? Simply stated, it resides with his son. For Yeshua conveys in Matthew 28:18, Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Can we take that just as is, or would you like to see the trail that leads to the gaining of his authority and that statement? All authority, everything, has been given to Yeshua. We see this further through witnesses. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 1. 6 days later, Yeshua took Kepha, Yaakov, and his son Yochanan. How many people did he take with him? Three witnesses. And led them up a high mountain privately. As they watched, he began to change form. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became as white as light. Then they looked and saw Moses and Eliyahu speaking with him. Kepha said to Yeshua, it's good that we're here, Lord. I'll put up three shelters, three sukkah, if you want. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Eliyahu. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the Talmidim heard this, they were so frightened that they fell face down on the ground. Does this sound familiar? Go back to Exodus 19. When God spoke, the people trembled. Was it that voice that spoke? like thunder. Don't know what happened, though. They were frightened and they fell on their face. A voice from heaven confirming Yeshua to be his son. Three witnesses were there to hear confirmation of who Yeshua is. They were instructed to listen to him. Listen to what he says and do what he does. We witness the origin of these words spoken from above, a first time. Thus, Matthew 17:5 was further confirmation. We read in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, while the people were being immersed, people, plural, Yeshua too was immersed. As he was praying, heaven was opened. The Ruach HaKodesh came down on him in physical form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you. A physical representation of the Holy Spirit that I believe people could see came upon him. Did they understand it at that time? Probably not. But what was it? It was a visual witness, a confirmation of the words that God was going to speak and that God would speak later on. For there were witnesses there. Yeshua wasn't the only one in the Jordan that day. Luke 3:7. Therefore, Yochanan said to the crowds who came out to be immersed by him. Crowds. Can't put a number on a crowd, but they say two's company, three's a crowd, so there were at least three there. Crowds of people were present when Yeshua was immersed and received the power of Adonai, the Ruach HaKodesh. Where there is power, there is authority. The perception of the people when Yeshua would begin to teach was not lost on them. During his Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua conveyed many truths as it related to Torah for which the people were astounded. In Luke 4:36, it says that they were all astounded and said to one another, what kind of teaching is this? Why, he gives orders with power and authority to the unclean spirits, and they come out. He spoke with power and authority. Yeshua had received all authority of the Father because he and the Father are one and they are the same. John 14:6, Yeshua said, I am. Go back to Exodus 3. Who is sending you? Who can we say is sending you? I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:10 and 11. Don't you believe that I am united with the Father and the Father united with me? What I am telling you, I am not saying of my own initiative. The Father living in me is doing his own works. Trust me that I am united with the Father and the Father united with me. But if you don't, if you can't, then trust because of the words themselves. And thus acknowledges what has been given to him. John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. After Yeshua had said these things, he looked up towards heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that he might give eternal life to those whom you have given him. These verses are here for our benefit, to establish a chain of command, a chain of authority. Just as verses are there to substantiate who the land belongs to. God provides us with witness testimony that we don't have to speculate. He provides us with witness testimony so that it cannot be refuted, so that his word cannot be undermined, though it is attempted to be undermined all the time. And in acknowledging it, Yeshua, he has received it and thus embraced it what? The power and the authority. Thus, as the ones who are following him, listening to his teachings and applying them to our lives, he is authorizing us based on the authority given to him. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Remember, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed, all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. He further conveys to us Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which, if you remember verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations and Talmidim, teach them, immersing them in the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, the reality of the Father, the authority of the Son, and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age. Thus, we have been given the authority to speak in his name, his authority to be his light to the Jew first, but also to the nations. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the good news, since it is God's powerful means of bringing salvation to everyone who keeps on trusting. There is not a period here. To the Jew especially, but equally to the Gentiles or to the nations. For in it is revealed how God makes people righteous in his sight. And from beginning to end, it is through trust, as the Tanakh puts it. But the person who is righteous will live his life by trust. I shared with you Luke 10:19 before that we have authority to subdue the adversary. For this I share Yeshua's experience as our example. And this is from Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 3. The adversary said to him, if you are the Son of God, order this stone to become bread. Yeshua answered, the Tanakh says, man does not live by bread alone. The adversary took him up, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said to him, I will give you all this power and glory. It has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I choose. Power and glory of the world and the world system. Yet what does he say? He says, so if you worship me, it will be all yours. Yeshua answered, the Tanakh says, worship Adonai your God and serve only him. Here are the trappings of the world, but those trappings are not the kingdom. Then he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, jump from here. For the Tanakh says, he will order his angels to be responsible for you and protect you. The adversary using the very word of God. It is a double-edged sword sometimes. It can be used incorrectly. It can be used with contempt. It can be used for a purpose other than the purpose it was given to us for. Yeshua's response. It also says, that was a thrust, and then you have a parry. Do not put Adonai your God to the test. When the adversary had ended all his testings, he let him alone until an opportune time. We have authority over the adversary. His power has no power over us. His authority is not greater than ours. And I will conclude with 1 Peter 5. Therefore, I urge the congregation leaders among you, as a fellow leader and witness to the Messiah's sufferings, as well as a share in the glory to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is in your care, exercising oversight, not out of constraint, but willingly as God wants, and not out of a desire for dishonest gain, but with enthusiasm. Also not as mockers, domineering over those in your care, but as people who become examples to the flock. Then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive glory as your unfading crown. Likewise, you who are less experienced, submit to leaders. Further, all of you should clothe yourselves in humility toward one another, because God opposes the arrogant, but the humble he gives grace. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the right time he may lift you up. Throw all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand against him, firm in your trust, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. You will have to suffer only a little while. After that, God, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in union with Messiah, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you and make you firm. To him be the power forever and ever. So know the authority you are under and live according to the power it provides. Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Now, to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah, to God alone, our deliverer through Yeshua Messiah, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. This is the authority of God. I've given you the chain of its process, going from the source and how it's come down to us. We've been given authority, not all authority, but we've been given authority. Are we living in that authority? Are we exercising that authority with faith? Are we living it? Again, in what Kepha conveys, not to domineer or to rule over, but to expand the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom here. I talked very little about it, but know this, that the authority is of the kingdom. It is of God. Yeshua is God. He gave authority to us just in the same way that God gave authority to the prophets to speak. We're not to speak on our own accord or our own volition, but we have God's word. He conveys to Timothy that we are to rightly divide it. Yet more times than not, it gets so often wrongly divided. Context is taken out. Different context is placed in. Verses are spliced together without true precision. Perception is very powerful. How are we perceived? Do we live what we believe, or are we viewed as hypocrites? Keep all these things in mind, because Jerry talked about this path, that we are on God's path. The adversary tries to push us off the path, tries to delay us on the path, tries to cause us to turn back on the path. Yet he has no authority to us to do so. But do we give him authority? So I want you to keep all these things in mind, because we have the authority of God's word. And having the authority of his word means that we have him. So if everybody please rise.